and welcome to the Blue Team Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. This week we will look back on Saturday's Scottish Cup tie against Queen's Park, preview the crucial game at Kelty Hearts, and we'll have news on the imminent appointment of a new manager. Yes, welcome along to the Blue Team Podcast on what is a rather cold and chilly evening here in the northeast. I am Colin Byers, and with me, as ever, Martin Smith. Martin, how are you this week?
Cold, very cold, as you've seen. It's been a change in weather, so not too bad otherwise. Yourself?
Yes, it's approaching December, so we can expect to notice a lot of the Christmas trees and lights are up already, so it's getting to that point of the year again.
When I done it yet, obviously, cost of energy prices gone up, so I'm being gripped. The tree and the lights are not on yet.
Well, we put our tree up and put the lights on it.
Very festive.
So we are kind of in a bit of a situation as we were 2 weeks ago when the club had announced that Jim McNally had left just before we were about to record, and they have just put a statement out just within the last half hour or so, an hour, just before we started recording, that there will be a new manager announced on Tuesday at 11 o'clock. So obviously the information that you got on Saturday was obviously correct.
Yeah, we sort of collared, I say we,
you collared him.
I collared him, heard it from the horse's mouth. He did say an appointment would be imminent. We did ask if Monday would be an option. He said hopefully. So, yeah, there's some news, obviously, but we can't, there's got to be an announcement tomorrow, and everybody will know who the new Peterhead manager is.
So hopefully, sometimes you can take what the chairman says with a little bit of pinch of salt, but so it was obviously accurate that he had said. We did wonder if it might have been tail end of last week, just before Saturday's game, but obviously things have moved forward, and the new manager, whoever that may be, will be in place as of tomorrow.
Yeah, I was hoping that there might have been something tail end of last week, but obviously these things aren't as just quite as black and white as what maybe appears. They do take a little bit of time to iron things out for if there's management team and duo and whatnot. So yeah, hopefully there will be an announcement tomorrow, and we'll look forward to seeing who that new man will be.
And it's good that we've got somebody in place ahead of what is going to be a big couple of games coming up. We've got Kelty this Saturday, then we've got Clyde in 2 weeks' time. So it's good to get, you know, like almost like a fresh start ahead of those two games. I'm not saying that, you know, a new manager is going to come in and we're going to win the next 10 games, but it's good to then allow that the manager, particularly ahead of the Clyde game, to get a couple of weeks under his belt with the players ahead of what could be a big game.
Yeah, we said it on Saturday. It was definitely a team in the pitch. It looked like it was lacking a bit of, you know, direction, a wee bit of leadership. But it very much looked like a team that was in limbo. They didn't care whether they were coming or going. And, you know, it's difficult for Davey as well, obviously. In the statement that was put out, Davey's decided to move on as well, which, going by his interview on Saturday, I'm sure will come as no surprise to people listening to this and people watching. So, I think it was imperative that we got a new manager in place pretty quick. And as you said, it's important that he's going to have that Kelty game. He's also got Clyde in the next couple of weeks as well. So I think these are two massive games, and it'll be really important to get a new man at the helm.
There's always, there appears to be a bit of a new manager bounce with Clyde. I know they've picked up some good points recently. Hopefully that then rubs off on us as well as a new manager comes in and we start picking up points, because we need to start picking up points pretty quick. And hopefully whoever the new manager is can come in and we said before, they're not bad players, it's not a bad squad, but they just need, I think they just need a lift in confidence.
Yeah, we've said it a few times. We don't think it's a bad team. There is some really good players within that squad. It's just when you get in a run like we're on just now, it's very difficult to turn it around. And sometimes you need a fresh pair of eyes coming in. The new manager will hopefully bring that. with whatever he decides to do. It might be slight tactical tweaks. It could be a complete change, complete formation change, complete personnel change. You know, it's going to be a massive couple of weeks, and obviously going into January as well will be crucial. So, but it's imperative that we get him in. You know, obviously he'll be in tomorrow, and I'm sure the work's already started behind the scenes for it. So, yeah, a big couple of weeks coming up.
Yeah, and as you mentioned there, January window just around the corner, really. Obviously, there's a few boys that are only contracted to January. There's loans that could potentially be curtailed in January as well, whether it be by Peter Aid or whether it be by the parent club. So it is still a big squad. Maybe there'll be more outs than ins, but you never know. It depends on who the new guy is and who he thinks needs to come in to improve the squad.
Yeah, I think there will be a few changes. I think there could be quite a few going out. You know, it's a really big squad. I think it does need trimmed down. You need to try and keep the quality ones as well, though. It's getting that fine balancing act. But like I said, the new manager will come in, he'll have his own way in doing things. He'll maybe see things different. There's maybe certain players that haven't got much game time in the last couple of months that he'll maybe see in training that could offer a different approach within games, and they might come in and feature more. So yeah, a big couple of weeks coming up for Peterhead.
And the club as well, within their statement, they've said that there's a welcoming anybody who wants to come and do at 11 o'clock to meet the new manager. Does that mean that you're going to be having an early lunch on Tuesday? Because I definitely want to be there.
No, I've got other work commitments. I will not be attending, but I'll certainly keep my close eye, obviously see who's coming in and if there's anybody that will be attending.
Yeah, so obviously that we'll wait and see with that. As you mentioned, Davy Nix now departs, which really I think we kind of knew was going to be happening anyway, just by the way he was speaking, particularly post-match in the last two games that he's been in charge of, and I think the two come hand in hand, really. If Jim was going to be leaving, he'd be leaving as well, and I think he'd mentioned this when he came on the podcast about a year or so ago and said that he'd be here as long as Jim was going to be here. So it's no surprise really that he's moving on, and I think for everybody maybe that's the best thing.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think, you know, it's testament and credit to Davey. It's not just about Jim, there's also Davey to think about as well. You know, Nick came as a duo, a very good duo as well, it has to be said, up until recent times. But he knew that staying around and trying to get that consistency for the players as well, he didn't just decide to go as well at the same time as Jim. So credit to him for sticking around, but I think it was probably right for all parties, for club, the team, and for Davey, that he has decided now to move on, and you know, I wish him all the very best going forward.
Yeah, because it would be easy for him just to say, well, that's Jim going, I'll just go as well, and just kind of leave the players and the club in a bit of a limbo, maybe getting a manager in that maybe wasn't the first choice, if you see what I mean, just because
yeah.
It was somebody, it was me able to get in pretty quick. So it was good that he stuck around for those two games. But much like Jim, he will be long thought of for what he's done with the club in the last 11 years.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. He's got a lot of fond memories up here, and he's close with quite a lot of people as well. So, you know, I think that plays a part in your decision as well. The club's been good to Jim and Davey over time, and vice versa. You know, that can't be understated either. They've done a heck of a lot for the club as well. So it was good that he stuck around for those couple of games, try and help the club through. And like I said, I wish him all the very best going forward.
You always felt it was very much a good cop, bad cop between the two of them. You know, Davey has the reputation, particularly as a player and as a coach, of being the guy who'll do most of the shouting and the ball, and Jim being the sort of quieter, just getting on with the job. So they seem to complement each other quite well.
Yeah, they did. And there was one, well, we've spoken about it a few times before, but obviously doing the commentary the other year, we were pretty close to Jim and Davey. You heard a lot of it they said in the dugout. And it was interesting that Jim would maybe describe something to Davey, and then Davey would fly off the handle, and vice versa, and always getting into trouble with the officials as well. That's something you maybe didn't quite see as well. But as you said, it was good cop, bad cop, but they worked well together. And I think that's what made the partnership as good as what it was up until, as I said, you know, fairly recently.
I did want to pick up on something that he said in his post-match after the game on Saturday. I don't know if maybe I've read the tone of it wrong, or maybe the body language I've picked up wrong, but he said that he felt that Jim doesn't get the credit that he deserves, and I just wondered, given obviously what's happened in the last 2 weeks, there's been nothing but praise from him from the fans in the last 2 weeks since he's left, and I just wonder where he maybe feels that that's come from, or maybe he doesn't get the credit he gets from maybe outside the club, perhaps is maybe what he was maybe suggesting.
Yeah, perhaps outside the club. You know, I think you'd be hard pushed. I think if you ask supporters, you know, their opinion of Jim in the 11 years, I think you'd be hard pushed to find supporters that say it's been a bad thing. You know, what he's done for the club. But you know, somebody biding 11 years at a part-time club and all the travelling and everything that goes with it, I think we'll be hard pushed to find that again. But whether the comment of he doesn't get much praise, I think that's maybe from, you know, people outside the club, because I think people inside the club realise the work that Jim's done. Now, whether that's in relation to just over the last couple of months where things haven't quite gone as well as they could have, and there has been more things on social media. We commented about a month ago there was that potential change of more people, you know, speaking out about him, sorry, against him with certain things. Whether that was in relation to that, I don't know. But I certainly think Jim's, he's earned the right to get good praise out with the club and from inside.
Yeah, you don't want it to sort of end on a sour note. As I said, it's for the vast majority of the fans that spoke up after Jim had decided he's going to leave, it was all positive. So you don't want that kind of long relationship to be soured. I just wondered, because he obviously said as well that Jim doesn't seek the credit for his achievements by whatever that kind of means. So maybe he hasn't, his profile maybe hasn't been as good within Scottish football as maybe that Davey feels that it should be.
Potentially, but I do think he's got a good standing within the game. You know, you speak to ex-players of Peterhead and even other clubs as well, and there's guys within the media. They've all got good things to say about Jim. And, you know, that kind of go unnoticed as well. I think Davey also gets a lot of credit as well for the work that he's done. And like you said, you didn't want that to be soured towards the end. It was a good partnership. Like everything in football, things come to an end at some point. And, you know, it's been an amicable agreement with the club, with Jim, and also now Davey leaving as well, that there would be a change. And given performances and where we're at in the league table, it's difficult to suggest otherwise as well.
Yeah, and as I said, the two of them will be a long part of the Peterhead family for years to come. Like most of the managers that we've had previously as well, they're all still... Well, most of them, I should say, are some of them maybe not so much, but most of them have impacted the club in some way.
Yeah, and you've got to remember, we've got to a cup final as well. We've had promotions. When you look at the positive, I think Jim's done a lot. Jim and Davey have done more positive things for the club than they'll have negative, and I think that's important to remember as well.
Yeah, so what was Davey's last game involved with Peterhead, as it now turns out? We're suggesting maybe that he maybe knew about that was probably possibly going to be his last game on Saturday, given the comments and the things he was saying, or perhaps not saying, in his post-match, was the 3-0 loss to Queen's Park in the Scottish Cup. And we sort of looked at the lineup and how the players would be set up, and we weren't surprised to look at the team, how they lined up at the start. It was virtually the same as it was the week prior.
Yeah, there wasn't much change. I think that sort of echoes probably a few people's thoughts in terms of Jim going as well. He had to sort of go as well. You know, in terms of it's like for like, it's the same sort of team, same formation, same ideas. I don't think there was much surprise when it was seen the team line up. Quite a lot of defenders again in the squad. It was probably difficult to try to plan the formation, but yeah, again, the personnel was probably what you'd expect roughly.
Yeah, it was. It's another loss. That's now 11 without a win in all competitions. It's another game with no goals. And it was just, as I said, it's the same kind of tactic, same kind of setup. So nothing different. We weren't experimenting, we weren't trying anything. A surprise at that, really, because David said in his pre-match that he called it a free hit. It was a chance for the players just to kind of go out and express themselves. But again, it was virtually the same kind of line. You could have picked the line up beforehand. And I just feel as though maybe some of the players that have been on the fringes could have gotten a bit of a run out if he was describing this one as a free hit.
Yeah, it's a difficult situation, I think, for Davey, because I'm pretty sure, you know, going by the post-match comments as well, I think he knew probably potentially before the game that would have been the last game that he was involved in. And although it was a free hit in terms of his now points to play for, it's difficult for the players as well, because they didn't know who's going to be the new manager. You know, how committed, I'm not saying that they weren't committed, but how committed do you go in for challenges, knowing that there could be a new manager in place come the middle of next week. So, yeah, difficult. But like you, would it have been a cup game, I would have probably liked to have seen a few players that are maybe on the fringes coming in. But again, a difficult situation for everyone at the moment.
Ryan Down, Ryan Strachan were out through injury. David Wilson and Wallace Simbi came back into the lineup as well. So actually, we were kind of wondering, well, who's got a back six? Who's going to be playing in midfield? And it turned out the back five was Danny Strachan, Wallace Simbi, Jason Brown, Andy McDonald, and Wilkie was at the left wing back. So it was... It was a back five that's been there before, but the biggest sort of surprise was that Davey Wilson was playing in midfield alongside Carey and McCarthy. Hewitt and Jack Brown were the front two. We've said before, I don't know how many times we've said it, but it's just basically it's round hole square pegs. Davey Wilson really, I mean, as good a player as David Wilson is, he just kind of could tell it really was in his position, that midfield role.
No, I don't think it's a position that we've often seen Davey Wilson play in. By his own admission, I would think he would admit it's not his best position to play in. He would probably much rather be in the back line than he would playing in centre midfield. And I just think that sort of tells you where we're at the moment. We've got a squad of 28, 29 players, and yet we're playing a centre-half in midfield. We're playing a midfielder on loan from Ayr up top, along with the smallest guy in the team, Jack Brown. He's maybe on par with Julian Carey for being the smallest player. So, yeah, there's a lot of things that, when a new manager comes in, I think these are things that will probably need to be identified if we're going to have any chance of staying up in the division.
It wasn't as though there was no midfielders available. I mean, on the bench, we had Robbie Scully. Prince was on the bench as well. Even the forward lineup, you could have put Jordan in there as well. So, I mean, there was options that they could have been, but I just found it strange that we were playing with six out-and-out defenders in a game where, you know, it's been admitted that it was a free hit and there was a chance just to go out and express themselves.
The only thing I can think of is, with him so many defenders, is it's one of them games you also didn't want to get battered in. You didn't want to be conceding 5 and 6. It's a team that's already low in confidence. You know, and I'm sure Davey wouldn't have wanted to bow out in the back of a 5-6-0 home defeat either. So it's maybe just that balancing act of trying to be conservative, but at the same time trying to do something different in the game. And I think we're sort of caught in the middle, and in the end we probably did neither.
And for the second game in a row as well, the win played a big factor in this one. And I think maybe this one played a bigger factor than it did the previous week. But what I will say as well, it's the second game in a row where we've conceded two goals where we've got the win helping us, seemingly.
Yeah, The Farstein, it took a bigger deflection than I thought. Having looked at it back, the time I didn't think it was that big a deflection. However, it's actually quite a sizable difference. But again, I'm maybe being overcritical. There was the Dunfermline game. I thought Tom was a wee bit slow with his feet. Could he have got across it a little bit quicker? Again, it's maybe being hypercritical. I just have not. And I've been impressed with the goalkeeping situation over the last couple of weeks. And as you said, conceding goals with the wind as well, you know, it's a factor that certainly hasn't helped us.
Yeah, and particularly the second one, I think, as well, when you see that one back. The free kick just sort of fired into the front post. And I know there's players in front of him, but I still think he should be doing better and he shouldn't be getting beat for that angle. As I said, Pope would say, well, there's bodies in front of him, but he should be anticipating that. And there is a bit of a concern. I think we've between the two, we've spoken at games where we're just slightly concerned about his the amount of times that the amount of saves he's making or the lack of saves he's making.
Yeah, absolutely. We've been blessed with some really good goalkeepers over the last couple of seasons. Now, it's nice to say that, you know, Tom's not a good goalkeeper. When you're conceding goals at the rate we are, confidence plays a massive thing. And obviously, if a keeper makes a mistake, it will be punished as well. I just feel last couple of weeks, about a month ago, he came for a cross. Should never have came for it. It was then scored. We had the Dunfermline. Thought it could have reacted a bit better with the goal as well from long range. Then there was the two goals. Okay, first one took a bigger deflection than what I thought. Second one, I don't think he should be beaten. So yeah, there's just a couple of things creeping in that, again, it's maybe been hypercritical. I just feel he could maybe be doing slightly better. But he needs more help as well in terms of his defence. Again, we mentioned about Nabin beating it front post. He's got to anticipate. You've got to be thinking as a goalkeeper, this is the area I've got to potentially block. Or you put a defender there and try and eliminate that. You've spoken about it before, but, especially at corners, Nabin on the posts. Again, it's almost like a corner on that second goal with the free kick. Okay, it's not quite in the corner, but you get the general idea. You know roughly where the ball's going to go. And yeah, it's disappointing that we're caught out so quickly as well.
If you look at the first goal, as we said last week about how poor Dunfermline were, particularly with the wind behind them, with their free kicks and things like that. And we'd mentioned last week about the amount of free kicks we keep giving away in and around the box. And if you keep giving away silly free kicks like that, you will ultimately concede goals. And that's what's happened there with the first one. It was a free kick. Probably on another day, he maybe wouldn't have taken that effort on, but with the wind behind him, he was always going to take a pot shot at it.
This is why we need to be smarter as a team, I think. You know, we came that there's that wind. The players are playing on the pitch, they realise the wind as well. And it's if you would maybe give away cheap free kicks in the middle of the park and think you're breaking up play. But in games like that, when they've got the wind, you're maybe breaking up play, but you're allowing them almost to have a free hit and goal because you've got the wind behind it as well. So, yeah, it's just trying to be a little bit smarter. But at the same time, it's one of them games you sort of just put to bed, you write it off because a new manager will be coming in. You're not going to look back on that game too much. You're just going to put it to bed and then you try and move forward.
Yeah, we kind of said it last week, or something, I think I'd mentioned that if we did get beat heavily, I wouldn't worry too much about it just because, you know, it is a cup game. We're probably not going to be getting a shout to win it, but it would have obviously been nice to have a wee cup run. So I would much rather that we, put all our eggs into one basket, if you like, with the league.
Oh, absolutely. I would take getting 6 points against Kilty and Clyde than I would a cup run. Absolutely. I think once you can try and get one win, and as we said, we spoke about Clyde with their manager bounce, if you can try and get that over the next couple of weeks and, you know, going into January, give yourself something to fight for, and then you've got the transfer window as well. Things can move. Players that maybe were on the fringes and they quite thinking are going to get in the team, their performance level increases, which again pushes everybody else's performance levels up. We spoke about it before where, you know, if you look at the bench and you can, as a player, done well in training in the last couple of weeks and he's after your spot, you're more likely to play well at the same time. So It's getting that manager in. Obviously, he'll be in tomorrow, and getting a platform to build on, and you know, trying going forward, as difficult as it'll be.
And I said to you, I think on the way to the game, I didn't think feel it was though it was a 3-0 game. I think 3-0 possibly flattered them slightly. And I think if you look at the stats, we had 12 shots, 4 on target within the score. They had 6 shots, 3 on target, and scored 3. We mentioned this before. That's the difference. We're getting it. We're creating plenty, but we're just nae getting that ball in the back of the net.
I think the quality of chances as well. Stats like that, it's quite deceiving. I thought the chances at Queen's Head were far greater chances than that we had. But as you said, the difference is they're putting it in the back of the net, whereas we're not. And again, that comes down to confidence. Also comes down to quality as well. Shouldn't ignore that fact. Confidence plays a part in it. But you need the quality of player in the attacking position, which, you know, there's a lot of people said over the last couple of months it's something we're crying out for as a striker. Hopefully Russell coming back in the next couple of weeks will help aid that cause, but it's not going to completely change it.
I think our best chance fell to Danny Stark, and he had an effort on his left foot. Really well controlled shot, actually, but it was a really good save for the Queen's keeper.
Yeah, as you said, probably we're right back getting the best chance of the game. It was a good save to the keeper, to be fair to him, but again, it's just those little things when they get in the break.
I say right back, I mean, I think at that time he was probably playing for centre-forward at that time. I think it was another game where he played in two or three different positions.
Yeah, I think when I belong before, we've got Danny playing in goals, to be fair. I think he's chalked off every other position in the pitch, apart from maybe striker and goalkeeper.
And that didn't help, really, the flow of the game either, in terms of like the constant chopping and changing of the formation. I mean, it was a 5-3-2 for a start, then it was a back four, 4-4-1-1 if you like, and then it was 4-3-3. When you're struggling for continuity, struggling for results, changing players' positions and playing the likes of, I think at one point the front three was Danny Strachan and Jack Brown and Hewitt, three guys who probably will never play up front again in their lives. But all that kind of things just didn't seem to be helping the confidence.
Yeah, no, the three, not one of them are recognised striker either. Again, echoes were concerns. Yeah, it's difficult. I certainly think it was a setup of not getting battered in terms of a performance that conceded 5 and 6. I certainly think it was a game where the team nor the management setup were maybe fully committed, not the right term to use, but there was a lot of folk in limbo. Then they came, whether they were fully going for it or whether they were sort of sitting on the fence, half-heartedly going for it. Obviously, things are changing, new manager coming in. So, yeah, it was a difficult sort of performance.
But what was good for what we sort of noticed from the previous week was that the pressing was a lot higher, especially that second half when Queens were playing into the wind. We had the players right up onto the 18-yard box, which is something you picked up on last week, where you felt that was we were a little too deep.
Yeah, when the win last week, we were sitting far, far too deep. You made the comment on Saturday that when Queens were taking a goal kick, there was not one player apart from Tom Ritchie in our half. The defence was completely pushed up, forcing them into almost kicking it long, but the way the wind was, it was basically dropping back into the penalty box and forcing them to think about how they were going to do it. So that was the pleasing part, and it was good, and it's taken that into games where you didn't have the wind. Obviously, they'll have an easier out ball, but if you're pushing up and squeezing the game, it makes it a lot less of a distant run. You can try and get in behind a wee bit more.
But even then, with the higher press, and I think the third goal maybe it comes from this, is the fact that you know, we're pushing up them higher, we're trying to pen them in, but just a couple of touches, a class, or a couple of good passes, and they're up at the other end. You know, when you've got players like Simon Murray and Grant Savory in your team, they can sort of take the ball down and do these kind of things and get up the park pretty quick, and something that we're maybe lacking, and just somebody that can take the ball and run with it again.
Yeah, it's disappointed with Grant. We bring him on to have a chat, and then he goes and does Atlas on the Saturday as well. I think that's poor taste. But, yeah, like you said, we're beaten by quality. But on the flip side, if we're going to play with that high press, almost the intensity of it, I don't mind if we're almost, if they picked apart, but if we're beaten from time to time with the press, if you're doing it on a more regular basis, you'll get used to it. You'll be able to think of how you're going to defend against it. And when they get to play teams of the quality of Queens in the attacking third every week, you know, there will be games where we're playing Kelty, Clydes, Montroses, Alloas, that you think, well, if you've got that press, there's a chance of getting something out of the game. So, yeah, I liked the press. I thought it was good. Obviously, it was with the wind. And now it's trying to do, when you had got the wind factor factored in, you've got to try and do the press at the same time.
And obviously, the game, as I said, it was greatly affected by the wind. From a sort of Queen's perspective, they've come up, they've done the job, they've got the three goals, clean sheet, into the next round, done and dusted, and that's all you can really ask for.
Yeah, from their point of view, you would probably think, okay, you're away to a League One team that's struggling, a potential banana skin for them. I didn't think their team was really weakened either. You know, I thought it was a good strength, Queen's Park team. They'd come up with the full intention of getting the job done and getting in the next round, and that's exactly what they've done.
Just a word on the ref. A couple of questionable decisions, shall we say, within the game. It's not the first time we've had him this season. You know, I think pretty much summing up the fact that he booked Jason Brown early on in the first half, when it was Enoch Woolisimbi who gave away the free kick on the edge of the box. He did correct his error. Well, I wouldn't say straight away, but he took some convincing before he changed his mind.
I think Jason was rather persuasive, going by the gestures that we've seen towards the referee. But yeah, mistaken identity. Thankfully, it was changed on the day. But that's one of them situations where if the referee didn't change his mind and Jason's involved in something later on, you know, it could have had bigger ramifications than what it did. But the referee made a mistake. Thankfully, it was changed at the time as well.
And there was one where you picked up during the game as well, Andy McCarthy, I think, second half. Could have gotten two yellow cards within the same the same incident, but the referee didn't give him anything.
No, I think it was a pull either on the bottom of the shirt or on his arm, and then he gets away from him in a slight kick out. And when I say slight kick out, he's aiming for the ball and he's just caught the player in almost like a stumbling motion. The player's gone on. The referee has waived advantage, so he's clearly seen that something's happened. The ball's then gone out about 15, 20 seconds later, and the referee hasn't gone back till it. Thankfully, it's now a booking. He didn't get one, but you know, it's one of them things. You're looking for consistency, and that's certainly a... There was at least one of them a booking. But we're speaking about decisions. I've got to touch on the Peterhead players trying to take a free kick for an offside decision in the Queen's Park half. I don't know if the rules changed. I was speaking to a guy at work today about it as well. He had a laugh and chuckle. It was a comedy moment three times to get tilt. No, it's offside, take it in your own half. So, yeah, interesting times.
And then once they got it into the line half, just before McCarthy got it way to take it, the wind blew it back into the Queen's half again. So that was a dilly of a game. I mean, if it was a World Cup, we'd be getting another 7 minutes of added time for that.
They're still be playing now.
Well, I'd say I probably still couldn't score either. Just one sub again used on Saturday. You know, we've sort of bemoaned the fact that we're not, you know, rotating maybe the players enough, not giving other players a chance in a game where you know, you're losing the game 2-0. You want to try and affect the game. There is only one change, as I said. You had likes of Prince sitting on the bench, Scullion sitting on the bench, Robbie McGale, Ewan Murray was on the bench as well. And I mean, these kind of guys, they probably are going to need game time at some point just to kind of keep themselves going. And I just wonder, maybe the cynic and maybe thinking, well, because Davey knew he was going to be leaving, I'm not going to be making too many changes. ahead of me leaving, or maybe he was thinking, well, these are the guys that will probably be playing again next week. Who knows? And just carried on.
Yeah, the cynic in me as well would tend to agree that David probably knew he was going to move on. But having said that, you know, Jim didn't really make changes either. I would like to think a new manager coming in will probably try and utilise his substitutes a little bit better than what we've done over the last 4 or 5 months.
Yeah. So, as I said, it was another game where we've lost, and the appetite was maybe there. The attendance less than 500 would obviously just suggest that perhaps maybe near a lot of folk were expecting too much out of the game. Maybe the weather maybe affected it slightly, but you know, you hope that these are the kind of things that you would hope would turn around sooner rather than later.
Yeah, the form's got to improve if we've got any chance to survive, and I think it was certainly a game on Saturday where you'd analyse it to an extent, you'd have a look at what went wrong, but I don't think too many folk will be caught up about it. It's probably a game that really going, like, you sort of hoped that you could go through, but you never really expected that you would, and hopefully that new manager will come in, he'll give us that bounce effect, and we can try and look forward.
So on to your thoughts after the game on Saturday. I get a few of them just now. I think this is probably the best one out of the lot. Straightforward, straight to the point. Rosemary Cow just says, bad match. You kind of get a donate
there. It's simple but effective.
Peter Cameron, first thing new manager needs is at least a couple of strikers. Something that's been mentioned a few times, I think, was it Will last week? It said that was something he keeps saying it week in, week out. Yeah. But it is clear that, you know, if the new manager does come in, or they say if, when the manager new comes in, when the new manager comes in, you would assume he would look at this, assess the squad and look at that and go, that's something that we need to change to sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I would like to think he would. The only thing to give him a bit of balance is it's very difficult in January to recruit good players, and obviously strikers themselves coming in of quality is going to be difficult. But, you know, a new manager will have new contacts, he'll have different ideas, so you'd like to think that there's something in the pipeline. I'm sure, obviously, the manager will have done his due diligence as well. He'll have looked at the club, you know, prior to any interview taking place. He'll have assessed the squad, obviously. It'll have been from afar. He'll have been looking at the club. But you'd like to think he's aware of the situation, the predicament we find ourselves in the playing squad as well, lack of numbers up front. I'm sure he'll be trying to identify that as soon as possible.
Jason Argo, the win made the game difficult for both sides. Wasn't our worst performance of the year. Enoch's crosses in the box were decent, and I thought Hewitt had a decent game as well. Wasn't best pleased seeing Grant Savage score against us, though. That was one of those inevitables that was going to happen as well.
Yeah, you could almost write it that Grant would score, but we knew that from his time in Peterhead. He was a really good player, a very talented player, and he was always going to do well, I think, at Queen's Park. So it's good to see him doing well. It's just unfortunate that we've seen that on Saturday as well.
He's mentioned Enoch there, and Enoch was one of those that got switched when it went to a back four. He went to right back, and what did you make of him playing in that position? Because we've maybe had a bit of concern with him playing as an out-and-out centre-half, and I thought he looked a little bit more comfortable in that sort of right-back role.
Yeah, I think he did, actually. I think that he looked more assured being at right-back rather than centre-back. I think it's maybe one of them positions that, hey, he's a young lad, he's maybe concerned about making that error. You know, Jason Brown's got the experience there, he can recover well. But I think he looked more assured at right-back. It's a wee bit like Andy McDonald. I think sometimes at centre-back he looks a little bit unsure, but he looks a lot better at left-back, left-wing-back. So that's maybe something a new manager might look at as well.
Graham McLean, we were competitive and pressured Queen's Park in the second half. Unfortunately, suffered again without an out-and-out front man. David Stormouth, man of the match decision was a joke. He was mince. could not pass water. Why Prince never got on to control the ball is a mystery. And echoing maybe slightly what we were saying about the lack of, you know, rotation of the squad and using the bench. The man of the match was Julian Carey. Was a bit of a surprise. I think some of the folk around about us were kind of questioning that one. Maybe a couple other guys could have been given that award instead.
Yeah, I think so. I certainly think that it wasn't one of Julian's better games. I do think there was potentially at least three players ahead of him in my pecking order for man of the match. So yeah, a difficult afternoon I'd have thought for Julian, but you know, he got the sponsor's man of the match.
Bill McGill, it was a good effort by the Blue Toon. Jackie Stephen didn't play to advantage of the win. Need to rethink our game plan. And I think that's something that we've been saying, is that the style and the setup maybe isn't working. And Jackie's saying there maybe it's time to rethink that. That may well come in with the new manager.
Yeah, I would think so. I certainly think there's a playing style that we've got now that doesn't suit quite a few of the players, and it's trying to get that balancing act of having the players that you've got at your disposal with a style that's going to win you games. But yeah, I certainly think a change in playing style would be beneficial.
Billy Bruce, so frustrating. Queen's adapted better to the wind. Sensational first goal. Yeah, and you would have to kind of agree with that for a team that wouldn't be exposed to the wind as much as we are, especially when we played it last week. It is frustrating to watch.
Yeah, they dealt with it a lot better than what we did. Again, that's why things are, you know, frustrating, because we, you know, there's players here that I played at Balmoor before with the wind as it has been, and you just feel that if you had a couple of players that had played with that wind here before, that you'd have a better chance of winning the game. It's, you know, it's nae uncommon to get wind up here, as we know, but it's, you've got to use that to your advantage, and we're really not done that over the last couple of weeks when there has been significant wind.
But it's the set pieces as well. It was really frustrating, especially that second half where Carey's obviously the one that's on the corners and on the set pieces. His delivery is one of the best. And then you had Andy McDonald on, trying to do the in-swingers, playing with the wind. And you just, from our kind of perspective, what we are watching, we could almost say, like, we know where we should be aiming the ball at and allow the wind to come in. And it's like what Billy was saying there, it's frustrating to see the players not adapting to that.
Yeah, Julian took a corner, it was poor, then Andy came across and took one, and you can almost legislate for the first one being poor. He's trying to get a sighter with a win, but then for the second team to do exactly the same as what he did in the first team, that is poor. Because you've seen the first team, what you've done, you've got to then readjust, move your target, think about where you're putting the ball, and then put the second one straight over the bar. Yeah, again, that is poor, and that's one of them things you can forgive poor passes and things like that, but when you've got a set piece of the wind, you've got to use it better than what we're doing.
Yeah, George, I'll give you the last one then. George Buchan, thought Danny Strachan played well. Richie was poor for us, could have done better with both goals, and something else that we've mentioned, that Richie's been poor the last two or three games. Maybe all that comes back to the error in the FC Edinburgh game?
Yeah, potentially. You know, it's, like I said, it's difficult for a goalkeeper. Once they make a mistake, it normally gets punished. He just seems to be in a wee rut at the moment. Just things aren't going his way, but we'll go back to that. I think a new manager coming in with different ideas, hopefully get that confidence in the players as well, will, you know, to be to Tom's benefit as well.
Okay, in that game, Jordan Brown was the one and only sub that came off the bench. What was his 250th appearance for the club? He now joins an elite list of players who have now played more than 250 games for the club in the SPFL years, if you like. Ryan Strachan being one, Graham Sharp, Bav Martin Bavage and Rory McCarster, obviously, is at the top of the list. So, in an era or in a level of the game where maybe longevity at a club isn't very often, we've got, obviously, as I mentioned, five names there. Jordan, obviously, being here in his second now spell, having previously been with the club for 5 years. Good to see him still getting the games as well. And like we said, obviously, with Jim's 11 years, longevity and loyalty doesn't come along very often.
No, it really doesn't, and it's testament to him as well. You know, he's had a busy couple of weeks. Obviously, he got recently engaged as well. 250th game for Peterhead on Saturday, and also his birthday today, as time of recording. So, yeah, like you said, there's longevity in the game at this level doesn't really happen that often for somebody. Okay, it's in his second spell, but, you know, it's testament to him that he's come back. He's still working hard. You know, he's doing a lot of the coaching things as well. So, yeah, he's got a lot still to offer.
And that first spell, he had 193 appearances before he moved on to Cove. Then he came back in 2021, January 2021, and has played 57 times. Last season, obviously, was a big frustrating season for him, out quite a bit through injury. He said to us at the start of the year that he was looking to put that injuries behind him and sort of kick on this season, having signed a new deal in the summer as well for two seasons. So maybe his season maybe reflects what's been happening with the team, if you like, overall. Maybe just hasn't kicked on as much as maybe what he should have done.
Yeah, probably. He's maybe disappointed with that as well, that he hasn't really kicked on. You know, he's come through the injuries that he's had over the last year or so. He's ready to kick on. He's taken up a lot of the coaching things as well. So whilst he's maybe not been playing the games, I think he's probably learned a lot from Jim and Davey on the dugout as well, and seeing how things are going from that point of view. So yeah, you'd like to see him kick on a little bit more. Obviously, we're crying out for a striker, somebody who can score goals. So I'm sure he's still got a lot to offer us going forward.
The vast majority of his experiences have come off the bench this season. Would you like to see him start in more games? Do you think he deserves to start more games?
we didn't see the training. We didn't go, you know, didn't entirely know what happens in terms of attitude and everything. But going from what I've seen and what we've heard and spoken to Jordan, he's a very down-to-earth guy. He works tremendously hard for the club. And I think it's difficult to argue a case not to have him starting. When you see the things that are going on in the attacking third at the moment, I certainly think there's certainly a case to say that Jordan deserves a start. Whether it's out-and-out striker or just off the striker, I certainly think he would be due a start, to be fair.
Yeah, so that's Jordan on his 250, so long may that sort of continue and maybe push on to break that 300 barrier. Next stop then will be, which we anticipate being the new manager's first game in charge. It probably couldn't be any bigger a game. It is away to Celtic Hearts on Saturday. And as much as maybe we look at the Clyde one as being a big one, I think this one is just as key, because obviously we look at it, we're 10 points behind them. Another defeat to Celtic this time, obviously that opens it up to 13 points. If we can get something from this game, even if a draw just keeps that gap as is.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure a draw is going to be enough. It's got to be I'm pretty sure the team's going to go in with the know-how and the knowledge of we have to get a win. No doubt in that for 1 second. I just think a draw, obviously it keeps it at 10 points. It's nay insurmountable, but I certainly think we're now at the point where we really need to start getting the wins, and I hope that new manager will come in. It's maybe one of them games you'd have preferred the Celtic game to have not been this Saturday, but the following week, you know, and had a game for him to try and suss things out, two training sessions. But, you know, nevertheless, the game will come round on Saturday and they've got to be bang up for it.
They're nae on the best of form themselves at minute, Kelty, compared to our form. It's decent. But they're four without a win at the moment. And in the previous five games. They won four out of those five. So, you know, they went up the league, but they've just sort of slipped back a little bit, much like what Airdrie had done a few weeks ago. So then they're coming into this game just firing on all cylinders. So it should be an even game. The only thing is, because it's a new manager, with then again how he's going to set up, what kind of play, style of play he's going to have, etc., etc. So we're sort of going into this one blind slightly.
It's two teams that are not expecting much goals, or you could look at the flip side and go, it's teams that are struggling to keep clean sheets and conceding goals, and there could be a high amount of goals. You know, we've said that a few times, so it's a case where you want the ball going off somebody's backside, you'll take a ricochet, you'll take an own goal, just anything to get the ball rolling and get us off the mark again.
Does the previous game with the two sides become a factor? Because obviously that was our only win so far this season, was a 2-1 win. O'Keefe's two goals, the one near the halfway line a few weeks ago now. Does that kind of come into play? Does Kelty look at that and go, so that's, we're the only team it's that we've beaten this season?
I think you've got to draw the positives from it. You know, obviously there'll be the new manager, but we'll go into that game knowing that we've beaten him before. That will give you the confidence, and if you can get another win, that brings it back down to 7 points. It's one of them things you maybe wouldn't look back on if you'd lost the game. You'd probably say the new manager coming in, it'll be different. But I certainly think the fact that you've got that win already, you try and draw the positives and the confidence from it going into the game on Saturday.
Would you expect wholesale changes to the lineup, or is it going to be a case of the manager's going to have the training on Tuesday and Thursday to look at the players and maybe look at it and say, well, we're going to make too many changes straight away, and then sort of maybe ease into it?
I think it'll be subtle changes, maybe one or two personnel changes, maybe a couple of slight tactical tweaks. I don't think it'll be wholesale changes. I think he will use the more experienced players within the squad, bounce ideas off them, get their input, and try and see what the best way forward is. Like I said, I don't think it'll be wholesale changes, but that's neat to say in 2 weeks' time that if there are a couple of training sessions and seeing what happens on Saturday, the manager might decide to make changes. All depends on who it is, of course, and their style of play. We'll just need to wait and see tomorrow who that will be.
As I said, it's the start of a big month, December. You know, we've got Kelty away. Then 2 weeks' time, we've got Clyde at home, and then FC Edinburgh away from home on Christmas Eve. So it is a big month for us. We've only got the three games before we come into the January window. We have to look at the Kelty game. You're saying we have to go into that to win it. Clyde game, we have to go into that one, you know, and I think at minimum we will have to win that one as well.
Yeah, we knew November was difficult in terms of the fixtures we had, but why we had sort of one eye on the start of December, in the middle of December, thinking that two games is going to be pivotal. You may get away with getting 4 points, a draw and a win in that two games, but I certainly think anything less than 4 points, you're almost in a shoot-off for ninth place. Certainly I think we've got to be getting the two, both wins in the game. So I think it'll be difficult, because we're a team lacking in confidence. We're going to put back-to-back wins together for a very long time, but it's amazing fit confidence can be in fit back, and hopefully that new manager will try and install a little bit of the confidence in the team.
Yeah, and we'll look forward to the new manager bounce as well, and see if that kind of comes and the results sort of come sooner rather than later.
Yeah, you're hoping you do get that new manager bounce. Sometimes a manager will go in, there's not much change. I do think the fact that the January transfer window is just around the corner as well could be a good thing. If there's players that maybe the manager doesn't like the attitude or the work rate or whatever, they can be shipped to, and you know there could be changes. So I certainly think things will look a lot more rosier come the end of the month if we can, you know, beat Kelty and Clyde. But it's going to be a massive challenge given the fact when I put back-to-back wins together.
Okay, joining me now to get a opposition take on Saturday's game is Kelty Hearts supporter Logan. Logan, welcome to the Blue Toon podcast. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Thanks for having me on.
Not at all. So how are things with you? Obviously, we tried to catch up with you earlier in the season. Obviously, the game was postponed. So how's your season going? Is it how you'd expect it to be so far?
Yeah, it's been a bit up and down. Obviously, I picked up some good results and some not so good results over the course of the season. I think maybe with the club winning a lot over the past few years, it's been maybe the expectations were a wee bit higher at the start of the season, but I think we're just happy to be where we are, kind of not too far away from the promotion playoffs and kind of have that wee bit of distance from the relegation playoffs as well. So, but no, it's been okay so far. Okay.
Was it realistic expectations just to survive and stay away from that relegation battle then?
Yeah, I think that's what the fans have realised, that now it's just kind of maintaining the League One for now, and then hopefully next season seeing where it takes us and going forward from there.
It is a tough league. Is it been tougher than you anticipated?
I think so, yeah. I knew League One would have been tough anyway, but obviously with teams like the full-time teams in the club, in the league like Dunfermline and Falkirk and Airdrie teams like that, it's been difficult. But even the part-time sides like yourselves and like Montrose and things like that, it's been difficult to compete, and maybe a reality check for some people at the club as well.
Yeah, you mentioned the amount of games that, and you know, winning previous seasons, and that has that been difficult to kind of get used to? You're not maybe going into a game as favourites.
I think so. Yeah, we had a few obviously in the Scottish Cup last year. We had a few good results against like St Johnstone and Montrose, who were obviously League One just now. But I think obviously the fans have got a wee bit more used to it now, after we've lost a few games. But I think at the start it was quite difficult for the manager was getting a wee bit of pressure. But I think now they've realised that it is going to be a wee bit tougher than they expected.
I've got to mention the previous game between the two sides. We obviously won it up the road. The expectations, I guess, for us is that we have to win this one again. Is that similar for you as well, that you need to open that gap up again?
Yeah, I think it's a massive game for both sides. Obviously, we've had a few poor results recently, so I think just to open up, as you said, open up that gap again and try and really get further away from the relegation playoffs, at least with yourselves and Clyde. But even with Queen of the South, they're starting to pick up. I think they were 4-0 last week against Montrose, so I think they're starting to pick up a few good results as well. So just trying to maybe keep up with them. But I don't think we've won in our last four or five fixtures, so it'll be good to pick up the 3 points.
It is difficult to pick up a run. I think previously to the run that you're on, you'd won 4 out of 5. So it is possible where you'd maybe go on mid-table, but then you've just had that little slide and you're back down to 8th again.
Yeah, I think, well, we've actually favoured better against the full-time teams, funnily enough, this season. We've had good results at home, particularly against the full-time teams. Obviously, John with Dunfermline and beating the likes of Falkirk and Airdrie, so. But I think it's the part-time teams that we're kind of struggling with, so we'll be hoping to improve that record.
Is this a kind of game that you look at and you think you're a bit worried about, because if we win it, that cuts the gap down to 7 points, and potentially if Clyde get a result in their game as well, that could be just 6 points, and suddenly you're back into that battle again?
I wouldn't say worried as of yet. We are aware of the situation, obviously, because you yourselves have got a new manager coming in, and Clyde have obviously got Jim Duffy coming in. So, I mean, yous will be up for it probably on Saturday, and Clyde will be up for it the last few games, as you've seen with the results they've had. So, we're certainly aware of your guys' position, but hopefully we'll be able to get a decent result.
Are you wary of the new manager bounce, if that's a thing?
Yeah, that's the thing, because when I seen Jim Duffy get the Clyde job, I was a bit like, oh, they'll start to pick up points, just with the record that he's had at previous clubs. So, yeah, I think whoever you bring in, that'll be a confidence boost for Saturday.
Well, I hope so, because we're desperately needing it. we're saying earlier on, was no wins in our last 11. Obviously, the last win we had, it was against yourselves. And that game, we thought that was going to be the one to help us kick on, but we just haven't done that yet. And I think maybe if you look at the game with the two goals for Keith, especially the second one for almost the halfway line, freak kind of goals. That's something that we were hoping to happen again.
Yeah, I think the as you said, the freak goals were the kind of the making the game, obviously the red card as well in the game as well. So we should have maybe taken advantage of that, but that's good. But you need to take advantage of your chances, and that's kind of the story of our season. Really, we've kind of dominated periods of games, creating chances. We just kind of get that final ball to try and get the goal. And obviously, having Austin injured, who's been our main goal threat for the past few years, has been difficult. So we'll hopefully he's back in the squad now. So hopefully he'll be able to feature on Saturday.
Who's the sort of one man that's stood out for you this season then?
I'd say so far it would probably be Agyeman. So he was kind of in and out of the team last year, and he was brought in by Kevin Thompson last summer. But John Potter's he's been one of the first names of the team sheet this season. Had a brilliant pre-season, had a bit of a difficult start to the season when he started to get a bit of form. Scored two goals against Falkirk. I kind of gave him a wee bit of a confidence boost. Last few games he's been a bit quiet, but hopefully he'll be able to get back a bit of confidence and have a good performance on Saturday.
In terms of the sort of two sides of the park, defensively and going forward, where do you see your main threat being? Are you better defensively, or are you better going forward?
I'd say it's a mix of both. At the moment, we're struggling to get that final ball, as I said, and we are starting Higginbottom up front, who's obviously very experienced. But personally, I do think his better position is on the wing. But in at the back, we've got experienced pros like Thomas O'Ware and Jordan Forster, who have been solid at times this season. Thomas coming back from injury halfway through the season. Jordan has been brilliant since the start of the season. So it's a mix of both, really. Sometimes they're on top form, and sometimes they struggle a wee bit with maybe after going a goal down, it comes sometimes a heads drop. But they've been doing well so far.
Final question then, what is your score prediction going to be? How do you see it going?
It's a tricky one. It depends how confident you guys will be with obviously the new manager, but I'm gonna go for I'll go for 2-1 Kelly, a narrow win. What about yourself?
That's the thing, we were speaking about the game earlier on, and we were previewing it. We just didn't know how to preview the game, because we're obviously going into it blind. We don't know how the new manager is going to play. You know, is he going to rotate the squad? Is he going to make changes? So it's really, it will be up in the air. And I guess for you guys, trying to assess how we're going to play as well might be totally different as well.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, they'll probably have, I'd imagine, one or two training sessions maybe your manager, new manager will have, because he's got appointed tomorrow, is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, tomorrow. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how you guys line up, because obviously McInerney did a brilliant job, unlucky this season, but it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, it'll be a really interesting one to keep an eye on. But Logan, appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on. Hopefully, at some point again, we'll catch up later on in the season and see how things are going for both sides.
Perfect. Thank you, and all the best for Saturday for you too.
And that is it for this week's episode. We do hope you have enjoyed it. Thank you to Kelty supporter Logan for joining me. And as always, thanks to Martin Smith for being here also. That leaves me to say a big thank you to you guys for listening as ever. Keep your comments and messages coming in. We do really appreciate them. I've been Colin Byers. We'll be back again next week. So until then, stay safe and we'll see you all again very soon.